did you find this?
Freaking Clemson.
What'd they do?
Well, there's like 10 minutes left still. Or no, 6 minutes left, and they're up like 7 against Arizona right now, and I'm pretty sure everyone's got Arizona winning this game.
I'm in last place in Walker's bracket, so that just shows you how much I know about college basketball.
Yeah, I'm not doing so hot, because I also don't know anything about college basketball.
Yeah.
They truly put the madness in March Madness.
They do.
Hell yeah. And golf's going on, too. They got this is the Houston Open this week, and then they got one more week for playing for players on the tilt until to get into the Masters, which is in 2 weeks. And right now, currently, I put together 5 lineups for PGA on FanDuel DFS. And after day one, I'm in first place cashing $5,000 right now. That'll probably change, but
I love how much of a degenerate you are, dog. Like I could pin like 100 people on the street. Like, do you bet on golf? Like, you could bet on golf.
Yeah. And I texted Tony the picture earlier, but hopefully it translates into at least $100 or more win. But as of the first day, I'm in first place out of like, I don't know, 14,000 entries, something like that.
It contributes to the get Tony a new laptop fund.
Yeah, right. I am on my third laptop of the evening. I'm using Katie's laptop because both my computers are fucked.
All right, so put it right here. If I win $5,000 this weekend in that golf tournament, I will buy you a new computer.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I'll write that down.
You better write it down.
I'll put it up with all the breakfasts that you're buying us.
If I buy you a computer, I'm not getting breakfast for a while.
I feel like that's a fair trade. I will absolve my victories and make sure Tony has a laptop.
I'm serious though, Tony. If I cash hard in this tournament, I'll buy you a computer.
You're the best, but I think whatever. I'm not going to buy anything. I'll wait. I'll hold out. I'll keep that screenshot. I'll light some candles by it.
Wait till Monday or Sunday night when I text you.
I'm going to pay an Etsy witch right now.
So Shane, you're back. How was the ABQ, as they say?
It was great. I do have some posterity notes from the last episode that I was not a part of. So I did not do what Ryan recommended last time, because even though it wasn't work-related, I was still booked basically plane flight to plane flight. Also, okay. People on airplanes are fucking psycho now. I feel like I'm a total alien of consideration.
Yes.
I did not get bolos. That's for the May trip. And then I'm also retired from Magic the Gathering. I have not played competitive Magic since like 2019, but I still don't touch boobs. So there's that.
you don't want to play the Fallout decks?
I'm going to give you something controversial, bro. Fallout game series kind of suck.
Yeah, they do.
New Vegas is cool, but outside of that, I don't give a shit.
I'm with you.
Wait, Shane is May. Is that the air balloon festival?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not going there for the air balloon festival. I think that's in October. I think that's a fall thing.
Damn it.
I'll go again. I love Albuquerque, so.
They should have like prelims, you know, like they should have the air balloon prelims in like May.
Yeah, then we could bet on it and get you another laptop.
get me another computer. All right, so episode 126, we got a whole bunch of shit to cover, so let's get after it. Ryan, start us off, baby.
All right, I got a kind of a shorter one this week, but I wanted to profile a former Eagle, Bear, Cowboy, Packer, and Lion from Boston College. We're gonna do Mr. Jack and Cannon. All right.
Okay.
Born in 43 in Boston, attended Boston College. High school, he played, was a 3-sport athlete. He got horribly hurt, almost a life-ending injury where he had to be in a body cast for like 6 weeks.
Oh my God.
It was a back injury. But sure enough, that was his freshman year of high school. He's a sophomore. He returned to football, but wasn't allowed any contact in practice until November. He was ultimately the third string quarterback that year. As his injury and his back started getting better, I don't know. I mean, this was in the 60s, So, I mean, they had some medical knowledge, but I'm, you know, back surgery and stuff was still in its infancy.
Just a bunch of leeches and ketamine.
Right. did pretty well in high school and college. Let's see. Boston College, he finished 192 of 396 for completions for almost 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, and 18 interceptions. He also had 603 rushing yards and 12 rushing touchdowns.
Damn.
He's in the Boston College Hall of Fame. He was drafted by the Eagles. It says second round, 16th overall, but this was in the 1964 draft, so that doesn't seem right.
There's only 16th overall. 14 teams.
Oh, okay. But then he was also drafted by the Boston Patriots in the first round of the 64 AFL draft.
Right.
He ultimately ended up signing a $50,000 contract with the Eagles. He wasn't too good in his first year. He was the third string quarterback behind Norm Snead and pretty awesome quarterback name, King Hill. So in 65, he was still the third string quarterback. Played in three games, 66, third string quarterback, 67. He got traded to the Bears. Then they also gave the Bears a fourth round draft pick in exchange for future Hall of Fame tight end Mike Ditka.
There you go.
He did okay with the Bears. Nothing crazy good. He started and played backup alongside like Bobby Douglas and few other players. Ultimately, he didn't have a crazy good career at all. He played 90 games. Here, guess his TD to interception ratio. It's worse than you probably will guess.
90 games? I'm going to say 30 touchdowns to 50 picks.
Yeah, that was going to be my ratio. I was going to do 1-3 ratio. I didn't know what the number would be, but it'd be Zach Wilson.
Pretty much 1-3. 36 touchdowns, 63 INTs.
Woof.
Earlier player, so only just got over 6,000 yards. Passer rating, not good. 54.8.
Oh, my God.
But while he was in Chicago, he was arrested on charges that he delivered a kilogram of cocaine to an undercover drug agent in Schaumburg, northwest suburb of Chicago.
It's always a Fed.
Bob Chin's Crab House.
He was acquitted in 1982 because his lawyer successfully argued entrapment after admitting he was in desperate financial straits. So Cook County courts just acquitted someone who sold a kilo of cocaine to an undercover agent. That guy's fucking lucky.
That rules.
Different era, man.
Yeah, right? So he played himself in the movie Brian's Song.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The Chicago Bears, Brian Piccolo, Gale Sayers movie. He also made a cameo appearance in 1970 on the show MASH. I thought that was cool.
Okay.
I think he's more well known for his time with the Bears of all the teams. Philly wasn't good. After the Bears, he went to, Dallas and went to the practice squad for the Lions and ultimately just gave up in 75. That was the end of his career.
Dude, this is a guy that sold a kilo of cocaine to an undercover cop and they sent him to the 1970s Dallas Cowboys?
Yep.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He inspired the future Michael Irvin culture, I guess.
No shit. He maybe stabbed someone with a pair of scissors in the throat.
So that's Mr. Jack Concannon.
Okay. I looked up a picture of King Hill. If you guys haven't, I highly suggest it. He looks exactly the way you think he would.
Oh, my God.
So when you get a second, take a look at King Hill.
This dude's AI.
Hold on. I got to see this shit.
Is that a widow's peak? Is that what they call that?
It's a widow's peak and a brush cut, dude. Timothy McVeigh meets Eddie Munster.
He's fucking horrifying.
I love how when you type in King Hill, the first picture is of him, but the rest of them are King of the Hill.
Yep.
They know what's memorable, right?
I'm going to do a guy. And my guy today, he's a legend. He's an icon of a sport that is not American football.
Sting.
Oh, dude, the icon. I've only done a couple of people that have competed as marathon runners, but I consider some of these my favorite ones that I've done. And today is no different. So today it is my distinct pleasure to present to you guys the story of Shizo Kanakuri, a.k.a. the father of marathon. Kanakuri was born in a rural town in Japan in August of 1891, which would make him a Leo. Thank you.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was a runner from a young age, and when he went to college, he finally got formal coaching from a dude named Kano Jigoro, who would end up inventing judo. Not bad.
Really? The inventor of judo?
Wasn't that Steven Seagal?
He perfected it.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So when Kanakuri was 20, he ran the trials for the 1912 Stockholm Olympics and set a speed record, absolutely killing it. He ends up getting the nod to go run for Japan at the Olympics. He's actually the first Japanese athlete to qualify for the Olympics ever.
Really?
That's sick.
Yeah, but at the time, like, Olympic sports weren't huge in Japan, which is probably wise for their pocketbooks, because the Olympics are always a huge money waste for wherever they go.
Well, you couldn't compete in samurai in the Olympics, so.
I'd watch the fucking Olympics if you could.
Oh, hell yeah.
So Kanakuri has to fundraise to make his way to Stockholm. And getting there was fucking terrible for this dude. It took him 18 days. He had to take a boat and then the Trans-Siberian Railroad, which, as we know, is the wokest Siberian railroad in existence.
I thought that was a band.
That's the TSO. That's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh.
They do all... There's the ones that do all the Christmas music, right?
Exactly. Shane, this is the folk punk version.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I mean, they do play that on the railroad constantly. You have to sit and listen to. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, Jesus Christ.
17 days.
Dude, that makes me want to buy a car so bad. Anyways, so he tries to stay in marathon shape by working out on train platforms at stops. And he gets to Stockholm. And they're balls deep in the white nights, which, I mean, racially is every night. But, you know, when the sun is up for 24 hours straight.
Oh, okay.
So he gets to Stockholm. They're in the middle of the white nights. His coach gets tuberculosis, so he can't get any last-minute training in. And he gets stomach issues from the local food. You can, needless to say, the shit sucks. He has regular sneakers on and could not hang with the fact that the gravel was, like, white hot. And it wasn't just him. There were 68 runners and only 34 of them finished.
God damn.
One actually died. First recorded death in modern Olympic history.
Really?
Yep. Kanakuri was one of the people who didn't finish. 16 miles in, he gave up and went to a random garden party, which rules.
I would do that.
The family hosting the party gave him fruits. They gave him raspberry juice, cinnamon rolls, a change of clothes, and a place to crash. He did not inform race officials because of he was like felt shame and embarrassment. He made his way home to Japan. He ends up running in a couple more Olympic marathons along the way and then becomes a geography teacher. As the 50-year anniversary of the 1912 Olympics approached in Stockholm, he became kind of a cult figure and legend. He was like the missing Japanese runner. It was mostly a bit, but he was listed on their missing persons report for 50 years. It was like the Japanese runner that just disappeared and didn't make it.
Okay.
So this sets the wheels in motion. And in 1967, he gets invited to come back and finish the race, which he did. He hops off the plane, gets ready, and at the age of 76, finishes the marathon. So his official time for the 1912 Stockholm Marathon, well, unofficial time, was 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.3 seconds.
Yeah.
Now that is unofficially the slowest marathon of all time.
I beat his ass.
Afterwards, he was quoted as saying he managed to have 6 kids and 10 grandkids during the marathon.
Damn.
Before we finish the story, I want to mention that when he went back there to finish, he visited the house of the family that helped him out during the race. The people who had him stay the night had passed, but their kids still lived there, and showed him this like scroll that he gave the family as a token of appreciation. It was written in Japanese. They were like, oh my God, this is a family heirloom. And he looks at it and he's like, oh shit, that's just a form I filled out at customs. So Shinzo Katakuri died at 93 years old in 1983, and that is the story of the unofficial slowest marathon ever run.
Nice. 54 years. I think I could beat that.
Maybe.
Love to try. I don't know, man. Running, someone telling me, like, hey, you got to run a mile sucks, but you got to run 26.5 miles. I'm all right.
Yeah. Right? All right. So that's what I got. Shane?
So this is going to be an exercise if I have a brain injury or not, because I can't remember if we covered this person, but I'm going to clap for the algorithm and the serendipity that occurred with this, because this YouTube short helped him push out content. So for some reason, it was just like, hey, best NFL references and rap. I got through like half the video before I realized, oh, this is just the band putting out their own shit and referencing themselves. Which I was like, you know what? That goes pretty hard.
Hell yeah.
So I'm going to read you the bars. This is a band. I have to actually look up the band. I totally forgot. I got to shout them out because I gave the prop. I'll do it at the end. So it's off the song called Concord Grapes. A lot of hubbub and a hullabaloo. Shorty built like Nadunkaman Sue.
Oh.
The next one is off of Dust Mites. Shorty known to give him angular dome because botched circumcision made his head tilt like Patty Mahomes.
Shit. That's a five.
This one's not the best one, but it's going to transition into the guy that I'm going to talk about off of Highly Favored. Probably not God Body Pilates Squat on the Yacht in the Irrawaddy with Ronnie Lott.
Fuck yeah.
Have we covered Ronnie Lott before? His name sounds familiar.
We have not.
Okay. No. I'm sure he's came up before.
Yeah, because I didn't know who he was because I'm like a zoomer when it comes to college football lore. So, and I just got back from Big Bad Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we're going to do a little quickie. So Ronnie Lott was a cornerback safety who went eighth overall in the 1981 NFL draft and is considered to be one of the very best at the safety position. Apparently USC was like really good at this time. Jeff Fisher, Dennis Smith, Paul McDonald, Charles White, Marcus Allen, along with four future first round O-linemen played for this team.
Woo!
Nice.
He went unanimous All-American in the 1980 season. He ended up going to the 49ers, staying in California, where in his rookie year, he recorded eight interceptions and became the second rookie in NFL history to return three pick sixes. Unfortunately, another cokehead that we talked about, transition. Lawrence Taylor was also a rookie this year, so he did miss out on rookie of the year too, Lawrence Taylor.
Makes sense. Yeah.
He ended up having the tip of his pinky amputated in 1985 at the end of the season after a running back crushed it and required a bone graft, causing him to miss a portion of the 1986 season, which, like, I put it together and I was like, oh, he played with, like, a fucked up hand for, like, significant time period.
We talked a little bit about Ronnie Lott when I did my Albuquerque episode.
That's right. Okay.
That's how I think it came up.
I know he sounded familiar. Yeah. He ended up having, like I said, he ended up having the tip of his finger broken, but he still led the league with 10 interceptions, did not lead the league in these following stats, but he had still at 77 tackles, three forced fumbles, two sacks, and he played for a decade with the Niners where he won eight division titles and four Super Bowls.
Yeah, he was a fucking beast, man.
So he would end up hitting free agency in 1991, where he would again lead the league in interceptions for the second time in his career with eight on the Rams. So he would bounce around from the Jets to the Chiefs before finally retiring in the Niners after a year, basically like 14 years in the NFL, and his body was just like, hey, that's enough.
Yeah.
Where he would enter the NFL Hall of Fame in his very first year of eligibility in 2000. He was named to the 75th anniversary team and the 100th anniversary team, along with having his number retired by the 49ers.
Yeah.
Ronnie Lott. Also, the Doppelgangers is the band or the musical group.
You want to hear my favorite Ronnie Lott piece of trivia?
Hit it.
Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, Ricky Allison sang backup vocals at the end of Huey Lewis and the News' Hip to Be Square.
Are you serious?
Yep.
That's sick.
Yeah. So at the end when it's here, there, and everywhere, that's fucking Ronnie Lott, Joe Montana.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. Huey Lewis was a huge 49ers fan. So
the power of love.
That's always the power of love.
Bandwagoner.
All right. So we did our bits. I'm doing a little bit of Googling. Ryan, I am looking up recent news on Darren Waller's retirement.
Please.
He said that he plans to make decision on retirement, quote, pretty soon.
Ooh. He's about to hand the reins over to our boy Bellinger.
No, dude. Brock Bowers is going to get drafted at 6 to the Giants.
Oh my God. That'd be sick if Darren Waller retires and then they draft Brock Bowers. Oh my God.
Look how fickle Ryan is. Here's my favorite child. Fuck Daniel Bellinger.
All right. All right. So we got to talk some prospects. But before we do, Shane, you weren't here last week. I would like some rapid fire reactions on some of the guys we watched last week, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. So Jaheim Bell. Yeah. I was forced to watch Johnny Wilson again, so that's a negative on him. He does run like Pacheco because he's really fucking angry when he runs. Yes. Xavier Worthy, I see a high ceiling with him, but as of right now, I don't see it because, like you mentioned on the show, I see him get jammed at the line on every single play.
Yeah. They're not going to give that dude a free release. There's no way.
No. Because if you do, he's just going to score on your ass.
Yeah.
SMA was fine. He does move with violence. He's not really a guy I'm like excited to draft for because he kind of feels whatever, but I do feel like he'll have some form of relevancy in fantasy. It's just going to be kind of frustrating. He definitely is the hammer, like the guy we're going to talk about today. If you do like hard-nosed football, he's your guy. So I think that's why you and Walker like him so much.
He's all right.
I'm Roman Wilson-pilled.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
And then, yeah, I think that was everybody, right? Because we were missing a tight end.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we just said 4.
Yeah. This week, we've got another 4. We got Ray Davis. We got Braylon Allen. We got Tez Walker. And we got Theo Johnson.
And Keon Coleman.
And we have Keon Coleman.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Shane, who do we start with this week?
Do we want to be positive or want to be negative?
I got a lot of negative this week. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right. Well, let's get all the negative out of the way and we'll end on a positive note. So, Keon Coleman?
Keon Coleman.
My player comparison, I think, is Puka.
Oh.
For Keon Coleman. They both ran the 2 fastest gauntlet drill times, and they're basically the exact same size. Was he injured last year? He only had like 658 yards on. But he was a good red zone target. He had 11 touchdowns.
Yep. He just dropped the ball a lot.
Yeah, he transferred from Michigan and then got a decent amount of time, but his yardage doesn't trend. He only had 50 catches, but let's see what else did I write down. Too many false steps, allowing the corners to stay on him, like when he's running the routes and stuff. He's getting too fancy, and you know he should just burn. But I think he's overall, he's good at route running, but he does struggle against man coverage. So he's a coin flip for me. He's one of the better prospects I watch, you know, top half.
And a question for you. It's 201, 202, whatever. You got to pick Keon Coleman or Troy Franklin from Oregon.
Ooh, I don't know. That's tough. I'll go Franklin.
I had the same question I had, or similar. Brian Thomas Jr. at 108 or Keon Coleman at 205?
I'd probably go Coleman.
Probably go Thomas.
Really? Okay. See, I agree with Ryan's, like, first the Puka thing kind of was like, I don't see it, but Keon is really good with the ball in his hands, right? If you can structure him in an offense where you can get him open, he's going to be lethal, right? He's got good acceleration. He's not like the most like physically dominant person. I mean, we talked about this earlier this week of there's so many big guys in this class who play down in size, which is like, hey, as a 5'10", 145-pound adult male, hit the gym.
I don't know where you have him, Shane, but I did write down that PFF had him at 34th going to the Patriots.
I could see him like a...
Does that seem right?
Early second. Yeah, I know he's like one of the highly touted guys. He's like a top 10 wide receiver in the class, right? Like, fortunately, this class is so deep, right? Where like, I think he would, if he was in the draft class last year, he'd be around like the QJ tier, right? Yeah, of like, they play kind of similar. They're kind of boom bust. You don't know what you're going to get. Where if he can put it together, I do like him. I have him right now as like wide receiver, like 9 or 10 on my list. He's still got above a 78 on my thing. So like he's still fine, but like he's a guy where I'm like, meh.
Are you ready for me to trigger the libs right now? Yeah. Roman Wilson over Keon Coleman.
Oh no. Trigger.
I have Roman Wilson as 80 and I have Keon at 78. So
I mean, and like when I'm saying these things, this is just tape score. That's all I have to go off of.
Yeah, because situations gonna change, right? Like right. I don't know. Like Roman Wilson hits the fourth round and like, all right, well, I'm not taking him in the second round now, but he can have him like an Amon-Ra breakout, right? Where like people sleep right. on him, but this is why we do this exercise to like find the gems that slip.
Correct. My Keon Coleman player comp was Rashee Rice.
He plays a little smaller though.
He does. I saw a lot of screen pass, like spamming screen pass.
Yeah.
I kind of, like Shane said, I want a guy to play bigger. He lost a lot of contested catches for a big dude. That's something that kind of scares me. If you can't separate, which he can't, you got to be able to win at the point of the catch. And he didn't really show that a ton.
And that's why I think like George Pickens, like he, this is the problem when players model their game after other players and they play kind of similar, right? Like I can see him trying to be like George Pickens, where George Pickens has like the circus freak catches, but George Pickens also has really good hands.
Yeah. Let's see. I ended with Keon Coleman will be most successful as a boundary receiver lined up next to a true NFL alpha in a pass heavy offense. He shouldn't be a wide receiver one. He should be a boundary wide receiver two. He can be a solid downfield threat, but I think he's at his best when he's using his frame to box dudes out in the shorter intermediate area. I think he's got a lot of bust potential, but I think he also has a decent ceiling. So at cost at like 205, hell yeah, I'm in on Keon Coleman. But I'm seeing a lot of Keon Coleman at like 112, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm good.
Let's move on. Let's do Tez Walker. I don't have a lot to say. I think he sucked.
Mid.
Yeah, he's not the worst, but he's definitely in the bottom half of his draft class. He had a lot of issues with drops that I saw and blocking. Yes. He's like a really good like stretch the field guy, but his footwork's kind of sloppy. Yeah, I mean he's fast. What, 4.36 I wrote down for his 40 time.
He's fast, but like
you gotta catch the ball too.
I think that's all right. But I think that's all he's gonna become in the NFL. I didn't even write down a player comparison.
My man.
He's just gonna be your spread the field guy.
I went hater mode. I said Jerry Jeudy that the performative nature of stupid cuts.
No. I did Marquez Valdes-Scantling, man.
I could see it.
Fast guy that can't catch.
I think that's just what it's going to be, right? He's going to be a dude who does like three or four cool things during the year. Like, who did you say last? Like, Xavier Worthy was going to do like the same thing of like, hey, he's going to have like four sick plays on red zone for the year. Be like, oh, that was tight. But he's a dude like mid-second. I'm fine. Pass.
Yeah, I'm not touching Tez Walker before the third round of a Superflex rookie draft.
Yeah, that's kind of where he's going now. I know Sleeper updated all their ADP today. So a lot of, like, the fourth round, Roman Wilson is not there anymore. He's, like, mid-second, and then Tez collapsed to the floor.
It's a damn shame. Yeah. Anything else, or can we move on?
He's fine. That's it. He's
whatever. Ryan, Theo Johnson.
All right, big man Theo. All right. It's almost 270 pounds, 6'6". Didn't have too much stats to write home about. I don't think I'm as down on him as you guys are. You guys are like, oh, this guy's fucking shit.
Yep.
I think he's fine.
I think that he has a chance to, because he is a big man, he has a chance to go to a team and immediately have a role as a good pass blocker and hopefully develop, maybe getting integrated in some of the passing schemes on whatever teams he goes to. But overall, he's got a lot to work on.
Yeah.
Like, he's super sluggish out of his stance, which is not good. Catching needs work.
He runs like a toddler, is what I wrote. He looks like my nephew running forward.
And yeah, he like looks uncomfortable running like slant or curl routes almost. I don't know.
Does he have the Cade Stover instead of the route? He runs just a big old moon.
Yep. The crescent.
He's got a lot he needs to develop. He's a good blocking tight end. I mean, he's born and raised in Canada, so he's got that going for him.
Soft.
I don't think he's crazy bad, and I think he could develop into something. But I know you guys are super down on him.
I think he's a fine late round flyer, right? You got a fourth round pick, or you got another extra third
four to play or five.
Like, fuck it, right? Whatever. Like in your fantasy drafts. I wrote, I don't know what the inverse of explosive is, but he's that, even with like a 9.9 RAS score. I have to watch Will Levis again. This fucking sucks.
Yeah.
He's got like the exact same like body type as like Cole Kmet. And Cole Kmet's developed into something really good, you know.
He's a really good yards after the catch kind of guy. That's like, if you can get him in space, like he's definitely a bulldozer, right? He plays hard, but you have to get him open, right? I put him as like David Njoku, of like, there's moments where I'm like, oh, that was tight, but like 9 times out of 10, I'm like, why did right. I draft you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and look at how long it's taken Njoku to develop. Granted, he's been on the Browns, but you know, look at how he broke out this year, and this was his what, Tony, fifth year?
God bless Joe Flacco.
I mean, yeah, I guess that was a big part of it too, Shane. I forgot about that.
I did not like Theo Johnson, and I think it's because he did his athletic testing before I watched his tape. And I'm like, knowing that he got this awesome athletic testing score, and I'm watching this guy, and I'm like, what?
This is not the same player. But I mean, like, that's like Darnell Washington, right? Someone who has a gigantically positive RAS score, and then you watch them play, you're like, why am I being subjected to this?
Well, Darnell Washington looked like a freak.
Well, yeah.
So I got to give him that. Theo Johnson, like you said, looks like your toddler nephew.
It's just like so funny watching him run. I'm like, I'm not athletic at all, but I'm like, dog, how does no one tell you this?
He's going to get a look at the next level just because of his athleticism, but I watched a lot of games that he just wasn't involved in at all. In terms of fantasy, I'm not waiting around for Theo Johnson.
No.
He's my tight end 5, which is not a compliment.
No, he's going to be like a good like waiver wire pickup in like 2027.
No, he's going to go somewhere and back someone up, and the tight end's going to get hurt. Everyone's going to be like, oh, dude, cheap flyer on this guy this week.
Yo, there's so many people from this class where it's Ryan's mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week, right? Mm-hmm. I can just foresee us in this season.
Yeah, he'll be one at one point, I'm sure.
Theo sucks. My player comp was Zach Kuntz.
Oh, that's rough.
Wow, that's
rough.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Well, that's another dude that had crazy high athletic testing, no production.
What team is he on? The Jets?
The Rough Riders.
No, he's on the Jets.
Yep, he sure is. He looks like a fucking goober. All right, anyways.
I'll take the over under on 1.5 Kuntz touchdowns next year with Rodgers.
You're objectively wrong. Okay, so let's talk old men. Let's talk Ray Davis, 25.
Yeah, I wrote that down. I was like, wait, this guy was born in 1999. I was like, that's a red flag. That's a red flag right there. Like, we're at the point now where if you're not born in 2000 or later, like, you're old. For a running back, that's not good because he's already lost 2 years at minimum in playing time.
These are dudes where if you have a late second, I think these players are perfect, right? Him and Braylon Allen, because you're already competing. You only get these guys for like maybe 3 years, right? So it's like if you're burning a late round pick, you might as well get a potential NFL back, potential starter, right? For really cheap.
Yeah. I think he's going to end up going to a team and predominantly play that third down passing back role because he's really good in pass game, at least from what I saw. Potential like Jalen Warren or something like that. I don't know.
I gotta tell you guys a secret. I'm fucking so in on Ray Davis.
Oh yeah?
I'm so in.
You wanna hear my comp before you start?
I do.
Budget Austin Eckler.
Oh okay.
Granted, we said that about Sean Tucker last year, so I don't want to get anybody excited.
I'll give you mine. Damian Pierce, but good.
Oh shit.
That was my next guy.
All the stuff that I saw, I was like, okay, so he does this, he does that. I want to compare him to this guy. I want to compare him to this guy. I try to watch 8 games on each guy if I can.
Yeah.
So usually by about 6, I've got a good idea of what I'm looking for. And I'm trying to focus on, like, who does he play like? All of the guys that I wanted to comp Ray Davis to didn't have the speed that Ray Davis does.
The only thing I don't like about him, he's very good laterally, but, like, he's not explosive in that way. And he loses speed when he cuts. So it is going to get him to, like, run down. But he does hit a second gear quicker rather than most guys. But he doesn't have a third gear, right? Like, once he hits a second gear, he's kind of done. I put slot receiver with 4 question marks next to it because he ran, like, 4 go routes in the tape I watched. I was like, oh, shit, this is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, there's so many people in this class. Like, how many receiving backs have we seen? 2?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Bucky Irving.
Marshawn Lloyd.
This is definitely one of them. That's another reason why I think this guy's going to go end up playing a third down passing role in the NFL. Because he's small. He's so naturally he's horrible at blocking. So that's not a good one first and second down back, you know.
Over 800 rushing attempts in college because he played for 5 years, but he only had 325 career snaps in pass protection.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's not defending the quarterback.
No, which is a bummer because he's a big fucking thick dude. Like, get out there. Go hit someone. You got this.
But he is he's only like 5'8 or 5'9, though. He's kind of small, stature-wise.
Dude, he's scared he's going to break his hip. That's why.
Okay, so I said that he's got decent explosion. He's got NFL caliber size. If he's given a chance, he could succeed. He has all the same things going for him that Blake Corum does. If the league decides he's good enough to be like a 1A or a 1B, his draft stock will shoot up. However, he could also get Izzy Abanaconda and just get drafted to a team with 2 running backs and be nothing.
True.
Hey, but Izzy's the number 2 there this year, so redemption arc.
I got excited for Abanaconda when I watched last year's Hard Knocks. It was a good story.
He's a good football player.
Yeah.
So Ray Davis, I think, is my running back 7, 6. I don't know. I'm in, though.
He's my 8th.
Okay. It's a coin flip between him and Blake Corum.
I have Corum as 3.
Okay. So let's hop over then. We're going back to the Big Ten, where God intended. We're going to go Braylon Allen. Shane, as the Big Ten, the person furthest away from the Big Ten, you go first.
There's negatives to Braylon Allen, right? He doesn't do 2 things. He does not catch passes, and he does not block, right? He does 1 thing, and it's predictable. Run that motherfucker up the gut.
Yep.
And he runs hard. I like him a lot, but I think the caveats I added to those 2 things is what's going to really restrict his ability in the NFL, because if you can't do 2 things at that position, you're either going to be just the goal line back and you're not going to get a lot of time. His Ohio 23 game was like the absolute worst floor you could ever see with him. He fumbled 2x.
Yeah.
And he got like absolutely smashed, even though he's a big motherfucker. But then Illinois game, he redeemed himself because that big man can move. He does tend to bounce outside a lot, which is like he's very predictable as a runner, which is like, even though he is my RB4, I can foresee him like absolutely hitting the fucking dust really fast. He's not super explosive, but he does have a nice wiggle at the hole with pretty decent vision. It takes at least 2 hits to take him down, and he always falls forward. I had James Conner without the hands.
Okay.
I really like this guy's tape. Let's see. Great open field speed. He's also a decent pass catcher, so he could be a good double threat. He's big. Almost 250 pounds and over 6 feet. He's got really good patience when coming up to the line, finding the holes. Yeah. I saw a lot of good shiftiness there. One drawback, I'd say, like, he like runs like super like up.
Upright.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to hurt him one day. If anything, fumbles, but hopefully not an injury, but the coach has got to work with him and get him a little bit lower to the ground and protect that ball, because that's not going to fly. That's not going to fly in the NFL. I mean, his pass protection is not that great, but he's a bigger guy, so I think he'll get a, a better chance to go somewhere and be a starter, potentially.
He's never had a legal sip of alcohol.
Are you serious?
He's 20.
Is he really? I thought he was old.
Really?
No, he's played his freshman year at 17.
Oh, damn. I thought he was 25 as well. My bad.
No, he's 20 years old. He was born in 2004.
All right, well, I'm more in on him then.
Yeah, he played for 3 years, and he played in 2021. He was 17 years old.
Okay, all right. He goes to Dallas or Cincinnati? Pretty good.
I like that.
Dude, I like Braylon Allen a lot. I know there's a lot of people that are down on him. The fumbles aren't ideal. Shane said not a pass catcher. Ryan said a pass catcher. So here's kind of where I'm at as the radical centrist of the group. I think he has good hands. I don't think he can run more routes than just like a check down.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't doing a lot of routes. It was all like screen passes and stuff. Did you guys see that freaking 96-yard touchdown run?
Yeah.
That was so awesome.
My man was scooting. The reason why I have him as a top five back is because whether or not we think he's good, I think he profiles as a three down starting running back.
Correct.
I can see that. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Damian Pierce got drafted, right?
Right. So. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, if Braylon Allen goes to a team like Washington, don't you have confidence that he could beat out Brian Robinson?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't see why not. Right.
So,
yeah.
Mid second, dude, I'm in. Right, like, what am I losing? It's gonna be. I'm just picking my running backs right there. It's Brooks, Benson, Corm, or Allen within 202 to 207. So whoever you want,
and a team is gonna be like, oh, he's got 600 college carries and he's 20 years old. That's what you want, right?
I would love. True. I know weirdo Jim Harbaugh is gonna kiss his son Blake Corum in the fourth round for the Chargers, but man, I would love Braylon Allen on the Chargers as our bruiser.
That'd be good too, yeah.
Kiss him right on the lips. Open mouth.
Nope, but here comes Blake Corum.
That's true.
All right, so Ray Davis, he's old. Braylon Allen, he's young. Tez Walker, he's bad. Theo Johnson is a toddler. And Keon Coleman is, I think, the most up in the air of our prospects.
He's very divisive.
Yeah. So we've taken all sorts of journeys far and wide today. But there's one journey that we have to share as is tradition.
Right. We did a bunch of things, but we haven't taken a car and parked it down in the yacht.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to a town I know Tony's been to before. We're going to go to Boston.
Wicked.
I've been there for like an hour.
I've never been. Oh, you like had a connection through there or something?
Yeah, we stayed outside of Boston for like an hour. This was like September of 2020, so I was not in a good headspace of having to get on an airplane and dealing with a bunch of right wingers. My perception of Boston was meatball people.
Yes,
I don't want to dissuade the audience of visiting the city. So carry on, Ryan.
Dude, that's the land of neck tattoos.
I mean, yeah, you got to go there. I think at one point, if you're American, it's got all the American history, the original, you know, where the pilgrims landed. It's everything. It's the most densely populated U.S. state capital. Actually, there's a lot of people crammed in there.
Sure.
It's like 5 square miles, right?
Yeah, it's tiny.
So, yeah. There's almost 5 million people in the metro population. To put that in this perspective, that's like the 11th in the U.S. Like, think what Chicago, we got like, what, 12?
Sure.
It was 10 like 5 years ago, so it's got to be like 12 now. It's known as the Athens of America because of all the writers and thinkers that came out of there.
That's, dude, Boston. They be thinking.
Yeah, right? You know, get this, guys. You know, there's a lot of stereotypes with Irish people in Boston, but actually 15.8% of the population has Irish ancestry, and that's, I think, believe the most in the U.S. It's called Beantown, and I guess I'm willing almost to bet that you guys don't know the original meaning of Beantown. It is known for Boston baked beans, obviously, but that's not why it's called. That's not why it's called Beantown. It's because back in the 1600s, when sailors and people started coming to this land by ship, the Native Americans had this snack that they were just being nice. They weren't like trying to poison the white people like we eventually did. They were just like, hey, this snack's really good. You should try it. It's maple syrup, beans, corn, and venison. And it was just like a snack that like these sailors, I guess, fell in love with. And that's how the Boston got the name Beantown.
They don't put Dr. Pepper. They don't put beans there, Dr. Pepper. Well, that's peanuts, right?
Yeah, they do something weird.
Oh, yeah. What is that?
I don't know. It's a southern.
It's peanuts, thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But like as Chicagonites, why do you guys have the bean? Why doesn't Boston have the bean?
I don't know.
It just showed up one day, dude.
Is it a gift from Boston? Is that why?
It's a public art piece.
It was weird, too, because what was that, like 15, 20 years ago? All of a sudden, everyone's like, gotta go to Grant Park, see the bean. I'm like, what the fuck is the bean? Why do we have that?
Next time Shane comes out, you'll come with me, Shane, and Wally caught up with the bean. Last time Shane came out.
Go flick the bean together.
They have Sam Adams beer, guys, because the Boston Beer Company's there.
Brewer and a patriot.
That was the first beer I ever drank.
Ew, what a way to start.
I think it was the apple pie one, too. It was not good.
Yikes.
Oh, no. They have the eighth largest economy in the U.S. between Houston and Philly. There's actually 35 colleges within the Boston metro area. The most famous ones, of course, being Harvard and MIT.
Yes.
Their murder rate is twice as high as Seattle, though, guys. Watch out. Watch out. They had the first lighthouse ever built in America in 1716 on Little Brewster Island. They had to rebuild it again in the late 1800s. I don't think it's still there today.
Okay.
The tallest building in Boston is the John Hancock Tower at 790 feet. They have a bunch of like corporations headquartered in Boston, seven of the Fortune 500 companies like GE, Liberty Mutual, Subway, Dunkin' Donuts, to name a few.
Sure.
The Boston cream pie is their signature dessert. That's like a chocolate, almost like cake with custard. I've had them out here, but I've never had them in Boston. Do you guys know that you can get arrested for making your clam chowder with tomatoes?
Yeah.
Because it's up in the Northeast. It's a, you know, a white cream soup. You got to go to Manhattan if you want the red. You know, every you go to a restaurant, you want the white or the red chowder. You know, you always get the white.
I thought that got like removed from society. I thought everyone just agreed like chowder is just the white chowder.
That's my favorite.
We all remember the scene in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, when he's like, what's the password? New England clam chowder. He's like, is that the red or the white?
I love how we've become fucking soup podcast.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
Soup cast.
All right. Next week, we're doing soup of the week. All right.
Oh, God.
All right. The Cheers Pub, guys. Sam Malone, you know.
Yeah.
From 82 to 93. That bar is still running.
The fucking norm.
Yep. I just wrote down lobsters.
Yep. Yep.
That's a good note.
You guys
nailed it.
Do you guys know that it's illegal to drive with a gorilla in your back seat in Boston? Don't do that. That's not advised. You'll get pulled over. Did you know that in 1919 they had a flood of molasses from a local factory?
Yep.
2.3 million gallons of molasses flooded the streets, killed 21 people and injured 150.
Yep. I'm just going to say something.
And that just kind of, no, really quick. It just makes me think of that scene from Austin Powers when he's sitting in, when the guy's telling the steamroller to stop, but it's like 30 yards away and it's going really slow. How do you not get out of the way from a bunch of molasses? That stuff's so thick and it flows so slow.
That's what I was going to say is maybe that's just your time, right? If I'm not going to like say some controversial shit, but I'm like, hey, maybe like this is just your end of your DNA. Just time to go.
I teach English, but my heart is in history. I have a master's in history. I love history. I used to teach about the Boston molasses flood every year.
Oh, yeah.
So they had these giant tanks that they kept all this molasses in by the bay. And they started to rust and lose their nails. And it was clear that there was like some leakage going on. So the company, because capitalism definitely inspires people to do the right thing, instead of fixing the tanks, the company decided to paint the tanks the same color as the molasses.
They just need Flex Seal. This would have been a result.
Yeah, right?
Fucking...
And then there was a day when it was super fucking hot and something just shifted and they fucking exploded. So it wasn't a slow trickle. It was a fucking tidal wave of molasses.
Ryan, we just got well actually'd about a molasses incident.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, I'm the world's foremost molasses expert. So,
for the record, urban lore in Boston states that on hot days you can still smell the molasses.
That's probably like 100 feet underground, right? Like it just seeped through the water tablet.
Think about how many dolphins in the harbor it killed.
That's why. Well, no, dude. Back then, people shoveled their shit into the ocean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why do you think they reversed the flow of the Chicago River?
Extra shit. You can fit so much more shit in it this way.
Anyways, let's see what else we got about Boston.
Moving on.
The first chocolate factory was built in 1765 by Walter Baker. The Baker chocolate name is still being produced today, although it's owned by Kraft Heinz now and mass produced, but you can still buy it. 260-year-old chocolate.
As the premier chocolate candy expert, it was actually made by Willy Wonka.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that?
You stole fizzy lifting drinks. let's see. They have inventions like the disposable razor blade. Gillette was invented. The company was invented in Boston.
Okay.
You can thank Boston for Tupperware, the microwave. Alexander Graham Bell developed a telephone in Boston. The electric voting machine, which I know the Republicans really love.
Heck.
The World Wide Web was actually developed in Boston.
Al Gore?
You can thank the internet.
Fuck yeah.
Man, right. Bear Pig?
Boston's kind of good. I'm going to, just for the internet alone.
Let's talk about some people, because there's a lot of people from Boston, too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. How about some bands, all right? Everyone's favorite, Snakebite, Power Man 5000.
Fuck yeah.
Aerosmith, Dream On. Dropkick Murphys, classic Irish band. Yep. Godsmack.
Yes. Dude, if I could have gotten tattoos when I was 16, I would have the Godsmack sun so fucking big on me. Oh, my God. I'm not the one who's so far away.
Mighty Mighty Boss Sounds. Don't Knock on Wood. Killswitch Engage. Guster. The Pixies.
Pretty cool.
James Taylor was born in Boston.
Okay.
Ed Norton. Actor was born in Boston. The entire Kennedy clan born in Boston. Jack Kerouac.
Okay.
Bob Kraft, who owns Patriots. John Krasinski from The Office. Nancy Kerrigan from Ice Skating Lore Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Remember when she got hit in the knee by what's her name?
Anya Harding.
Why?
Matt LeBlanc from Friends. Jack Lemmon.
This is Pinterest town.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Jack Lemmon from Odd Couple, Grumpy Old Men. We all know Dennis Leary is from Boston. Who else we got? Oh, Abigail Adams and Samuel Adams. We've got the Afflex, Casey and Ben. Actually, I did some research. Ben wasn't actually born in Boston. He was born in California, and his family moved to Boston when they were 3. So only Casey Affleck was born in Boston. So
are you fucking serious?
He's not a true Bostonian.
Oh my God.
They can't rip the rapist, so.
I'm fucking devastated by this news.
So Casey is born in Boston, but Ben is not. Matt Damon is born in Boston, though.
I don't give a fuck. Ben Affleck's not from Boston?
No.
What the fuck?
He's born in California. Look it up.
I'm never going to be able to watch The Town the same way again.
I can't watch Good Will Hunting anymore.
No.
Fucking gentrifier.
we got some comedians, Mike Birbiglia, Bill Burr, obviously, Ray Bolger, the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz. Oh, a wrestler, former WWE Women's Championship belt holder, Sasha Banks.
Yup.
She's an AEW now.
Mercedes Moné is her new name.
Oh, yeah?
She's real good.
Dane Cook's from here.
Not good.
Groomer.
Everyone's favorite George H.W. Bush was born in Boston before moving to Texas and getting into his oil fame.
Probably also a groomer.
Dude, Michael Chiklis.
Definitely.
The Shield. Tom Glavine, Hall of Fame pitcher for Atlanta and the Cubs. Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club and Edward Scissorhands and a bunch of those 80s, 90s movies. Ben Franklin, inventor of, you know, America.
Cunnilingus. You know.
Orgy lover. Orgy lover. But yeah, he invented eating pussy. Hell yeah.
Let's see. Steve Carell from The Office and all his movies. Ralph Waldo Emerson, sure. Famous poet, right, Tony?
Yep.
Let's see. Elizabeth Banks, all 12 of the Wahlberg brothers, including Donnie Mark.
They would have stopped that bridge.
That's what I'm saying. And not only that, they would have stopped that molasses flood from happening if they were there. Would have gone down differently.
You stack all 12 of them together, they maybe hit like 12 feet tall. Right?
And what if they teamed up with John Cena too? Because he's from Boston.
See, but I don't think John Cena's racist. If you tell the Wahlbergs that something is Southeast Asian, they're going to go punch it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Steven Van Zandt, the guitarist from Springsteen and the one of the mobsters and Sopranos. Edgar Allan Poe, famous writer.
Rumor.
And incest.
Henry David Thoreau, yep. Famous outdoor writer. Uma Thurman, Amy Poehler, General George Patton.
Yeah.
Jeremy Roenick.
Okay.
Famous NFL quarterback, Matt Hasselbeck. Also famous NFL player, Howie Long from Boston.
Okay.
Surprisingly, there weren't that many. There's a lot of NFL players that are from Boston, but they didn't have like crazy good careers. Like Howie Long is probably the biggest one I found. Yeah, we can end on Howie Long, but that's what I missed, Tony.
For bands, you missed Mission of Burma, one of my favorite punk bands of all time.
Okay.
Soul Too Beautiful for This World, Seth Putnam.
Seth Putnam, I don't know that.
The guy whose solo project, Anal Cunt, is legendary.
I've never listened to it. I feel like you've mentioned that before.
It's a lot. The most famous person I've ever tried to scam out of money, Michael Bloomberg.
Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, I tried to get Michael Bloomberg's campaign to give me $5,000 to throw a punk show at a Fatty's bar in DeKalb, Illinois.
Oh, shit.
If COVID didn't happen, I maintain that it would have happened. And then Sister Cities. Dude, big one. We're going to start off with a heavy hitter, Kyoto.
Damn, Kyoto. Rocking that Kyoto, Japan.
It's a good one. Strasbourg, France.
Nice.
Barcelona.
Okay, that's a good one.
Melbourne, Tanya. Australia.
Damn, Melbourne, baby.
I haven't seen a lot of Australian sister cities, so this is kind of refreshing.
They don't identify with America. That's a problem.
There's also only like 5 cities in Australia, so.
That's true.
Dude, they're fucking Florida. That's what I love about Australia is it's literally Florida. There's some other ones. Most importantly, fucking Belfast. All right?
Ireland?
Yeah, and you said that correctly, Ryan. Ireland. That is not Britain. Get the fuck out of there.
That's right. No, it's Ireland.
Death to Thatcher.
The Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
They have a different flag, too.
26 plus 6 equals 1. One Ireland.
Well, they had to include an Ireland because of all the Irish ancestry, but.
Well, it's true. And like, you know, you never want to be on the wrong side of Matthew Broderick's car if you're in Northern Ireland.
That's true.
So, all right. So we did all our shit. That's 126. Next week, we'll get back after it again and we'll have some more fun. So any closing thoughts, my friends?
Hey, man, we're almost at the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Braylon Edwards was the best guy this week.
I'm totally down. I'm totally down with Braylon Edwards.
I don't disagree.
Braylon Allen. Sorry.
Braylon Edwards is fine.
That's how good he is.
Yeah. All right. Well, so yeah, we'll listen and watch some tape for you so you can come in and hear what we got to say. So thanks for coming by and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Good night.
See you guys.
Dun 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 dun.